This program is paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, and sent by God to your house. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, let the power that you raised Jesus from the dead with just work on every person throughout the world to convince of sin, because they will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ of righteousness, because he's seated at your right hand of judgment, because the prince of this world has been cast out. Father, I pray now that that spirit that you worked in Christ works in every apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, every elder, every deacon, and every saint, and every president, every king, and every person that's in authority throughout the world. And I thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is speaking here, the Pharisees in verse 24 heard something Jesus had said. Well, let's read verse 12:22, Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees, heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of the devils. Incredible accusation against Jesus, huh? Yeah. He casts out devils by the prince of the devils. And guess who said that? People that believe every word of the Bible. And they had the law of Moses. Yeah. They were the doctors of the law, the experts. And they accused him, Jesus, of casting out devils by Beelzebul. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except the first except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So it talks here about, I guess we better finish this reading this whole thing. Amen. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven unto men. That's a dangerous thing. Never be forgiven. Never. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. If you don't understand what that says they're going to hell, they won't ever get out. That simple. Amen. Now, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the time is known, the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Speak good things. That out of the abundance, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He called these people a generation of vipers. They spoke good things. He said, how can you do that? For out of the abundance of your heart, you speak, your mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that thou shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. These are powerful words, words that people should take heed to. They should pay a lot of attention to what has been spoken. What has been spoken and what is being spoken today. I suppose if I was going one way, I suppose God wants to go another. And it doesn't matter to me. I do believe it's correct for God to tell you by His Spirit that I have been casting out devils for 34 years. I have cast them out of myself. And I believe God wants me to tell you, I believe this is the Holy Ghost talking out of my mouth, that in 1979, God delivered me from a spirit. And it came from down inside somewhere within my body. Where it came from, I don't know. But I knew that God was bringing this thing up. It was like a balloon inside of me. I could sense it, and I knew it was coming. And I was walking in my yard, and my wife Patty was there, Kathy, by my daughter, and Terry were there. And I knew this thing was coming up into my throat. And I knew it was going to be more difficult to breathe. I walked into the house, sat down on the couch, and I said to these three, no matter what happens, I will be okay. I will be okay. Because I could tell God was setting me free from a spirit. I'm not sure what. It doesn't matter. But it came up into my mouth like a balloon. And it was like air will do. Spirits are air, pneuma, breath. Like air will do, it will fill. It will fill a void place or an empty space. And it filled my whole mouth. And I could barely breathe. It lasted for a few seconds. It was gone. And I said, wow, this is a new doctrine. You have to know I was a professional veterinarian. I've told this story many times. People would have ears, but most of them never have any. They don't believe that happened. They don't believe it ever happened to them. But anyway, it happened, and I was perfectly normal, as I always have been. Just sound of mind. Not somewhat how would you put it? I guess I was astonished at what just happened. But I knew it was God. I was praying with a man here in this church, this building. This is not a church, this is a building. Church, we're the church. In a fellowship hall one night back in the 80s, and Terry Meyer was with me. And this man, this man had a spirit manifested in him. It was a powerful spirit. It blew him up like a balloon. His fingernails turned purple. His face turned purple. And I said, let that thing out of there. No, he said. No, I will not. I said, let that thing out. He said, no, I will not. You know what? He was afraid. He was afraid that God would hurt him. That's unbelief, fear. He could not trust God, who raised Jesus from the dead with every bone out of joint. All the sicknesses and all the diseases of the world upon him. He could not trust, this man could not trust God to deliver him from that spirit. But Jesus trusted the Father, and he delivered him from death. Now, I've been in the ministry 30 years. 1974, I was called into the ministry in Jerusalem, the month of June. And prior to that, for 3 or 4 years, I've been casting devils out of myself, out of Patty, out of Kathy, and 3 or 4 other people, maybe a half a dozen. And 30 years I've been doing this. And the thing that I have observed during those 30 years is the unbelief of God's people. The fear of God's people, that they cannot trust God. They cannot trust God to take care of their lives. They are afraid that God will hurt them. They are evil-hearted people, and out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaks. They said Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub. They're full of fear. But their problem, the reason they're full of fear, is because of unforgiveness. They've been turned over to the tormentors. Book of Matthew. Because they will not forgive. Full of fear, turned over to the tormentors, and they torment them all the time. They're afraid to trust God. Not only that, they have an evil heart of unbelief. It's a deceived heart. It can never tell the truth. It speaks what is convenient. It has many contrivances in it, the heart does, and it contrives these things and says, here is what's going on. Never looking to the Word of God to see if the devices in their heart are wicked. Wicked. Many years ago, there was a lady God brought into my life. And when I met her right here. She came up after a service on Sunday morning. as she came from Church on the Rocks. It was on the rock then, but it fell off and it got on the rocks. It was built on the sand. Do you understand? It was built on the sand. Jesus said it would fall, and it did. It'd have a storm, and it'd fall, and it did. She came here, and I said something about her favorite preacher, and she came up, and she was one hot woman, angry. She denies this ever happened, but I don't. She can't persuade me of anything and never will. And I remember I just walked away from her. I said, I really don't want to confront this silly woman right here in front of everybody. Because she was silly. So that's what happened. Later, God put this woman into my life to walk with her. To make a Christian out of her. As she said to me more than once, there's nothing in me that would ever hurt you. And I would smile and say, you don't know your heart, lady. Now, do you know yours? Did you know? What that was speaking to me? A lie. The deceit of her heart. See, you can't fool me. If I could have been fooled or deceived, I'd have been deceived many, many years ago. And when you come up to me with those kinds of statements, I know you have a wicked heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. And I know the day will come when the counsel of your heart will be made manifest to all. And I know this. That's scripture. Now, let me say this to all of you. It's time that you humbled yourself and believe God and quit being so fearful and doubting, because either God will take your life and straighten it out, or it'll be turned over to Satan and he'll destroy you. He will destroy you. That's scriptural. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible or not. You are not greater than God's word. Amen. You know, it says in the Psalms, he put his word above his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. And he put his word above that power, that authority. That authority. Anyway, I'm not going to get into a lot, but I spent about 3 to 4 years praying with this lady back in the 90s when her face looked like freezer burns, her entire face, her ears down on her neck, on her shoulders, curses, being oppressed by rulers of the darkness of this world, where there's something in your heart, those rulers can get to it. They can get to it every time. And that's the access, Satan's access to you is through your heart. Oh, his access to you is through your heart. If you have a heart of faith, he can't access you. Well, he can't hurt faith. He can't hurt faith a bit. Faith cannot be hurt. God is a God of faith, not a God of fear. And when Satan challenged him, God just prepared hell for him and said, there's where you're going. You see, people need to humble themselves and ask God for mercy. And let me tell you now, I pray for mercy for every person, including the two I'm getting ready to talk about or tell you what they did. They've fallen into the hands of God in a powerful way, both of them. Powerful way. So, they and you would say, well, you've fallen into the hands of God. I've been in the hands of God now for about 35 years, and there was a whole lot of time I didn't like it. But I learned to rejoice and pray. I mean, it wasn't a bit of fun. I'm going to see if I can find a scripture. It's a possibility that I can. It doesn't matter. I believe God for the money, and he gives it to me to pay for this. And as long as he does that, oh, yeah. Okay, Lord, we'll get to that in a little bit. Amen. I knew that was there. I knew this was God. A lot of fun, a lot of fun. My life is not my own. My life is a life of adventure. Of adventure. There's never a dull moment. And for those of you that hang around me, the dullness of your life will leave. And if you're scared, you will leave with your dullness. Amen. So anyway, this lady she thought it was neat to walk with me and said so. But you see, I didn't think it was neat to walk with her the way she was. I just filed away the things that I heard come out of her mouth. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? So I just filed some of those away. And I said, the day will come where these will have to come loose. 4 years ago, she really started rebelling. She didn't like the power of God. Did you know, there's a lot of people that would walk with me a couple hundred yards. Did you know Patty, who went to heaven in February 2003, did you know she was so excited when she found out the power God worked through me and it would her? Until the pressure came and she quit believing. You know why? She had a stony heart. And I thank God for what he did in Pat's life. I was able to sanctify her faith, gospel, Holy Ghost, obedience. Did you know none of her sicknesses that hit her killed her? None of them. She fell and broke her hip, and 48 hours later, a blood clot, actually 24 hours later, a blood clot was in her lungs, and she died. And that's recorded. The cardiologist knows all about this. Everybody in the hospitals know about this. They know how many times I was there praying with her. But you know what? My faith kept her alive. Kept her alive until God said, that's enough. I'm bringing her here with me. And she waved goodbye to Kathy and I, and she was gone. She got the best deal. She did. I mean, well, I repent, Lord. She still got the best deal. Amen. But I delight to do your will, O Lord. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Anyway, this lady, and she thought it was neat to walk with me until she found out she couldn't rule me. You see, there's something about a rebellious person. A Jezebel, they always lie in wait to deceive you. And they never give up because they think the day will come, I will rule you. Well, that's the way they operate. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth will finally speak. And this lady came to a place where she said to me, you have a spirit in you that's not the spirit of God. And I have the faith to sanctify you and set you free from that spirit. I said, yes, your highness. That offended her. Yeah, she told me numerous times, I'm going to sanctify you. I said, lady, you can't even sanctify yourself nor your kids. What are you going to do with me? Anyway, sanctification came. Glory. I never had a clue what I was about to do. But about 2 weeks ago, three, I was talking to her, and you see, God would send me to see her, to pray with her. And I was talking to her, and she said, did you know there are two kingdoms? One is in me and one is in you. And yours has to come out. I said, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right. You may not understand this, but that was a direct challenge of the kingdom of God in me. God won't take that. Satan. Read it in Isaiah, 13, 14, I guess. Satan challenged God. God said, here's what I'll do to you. Now, before I go on, I believe this woman will be delivered. The man that she lives with is gone as far as he's going. He won't go any further with God. I believe this woman will be delivered. And you know why? Because of the things God has said to me. No other reason. No other reason. In fact, all the things that she said and done to me tested every bit of love and faith that I had in me. And I said to God, I said, you know, it's hard to love somebody that hates you. Are you there? You know what he said to me? My church hates me. I said, oh. So that's what this is about. My church hates me. And I don't give up on them. Yeah. And I don't run away from them. In fact, it is written, I will never leave them nor forsake them. Even when they hate me. I said, I'm learning something about love that I never quite comprehended. You know, when they smack you on the face, give them the other cheek. That's love. You only need one, you know, you just need to be smitten once or twice, and then you shake the dust. No. That won't work. They can smack you and smack you and smack you and smack you, and then the dust will finally be shaken. Anyway, I spent about, 4 or 5 days, maybe a week after this lady. What was in her. You need to understand. This is a spirit in this woman. This is a Jezebel spirit. Oh, she doesn't even know what she's doing. She has a Jezebel spirit in her. She has no clue what she's done. To challenge God, His kingdom, only the devil's dumb enough to do that. God didn't make a man call him dumb. He made a man call him good. Right? So you know this is a devil. You know it's a Jezebel. And so I thought about this 4 or 5 days. And it's really funny because she'll get mad and she'll call me up and chew me out and hang up. And I can't find her for 3 or 4 days. She wouldn't answer her phone. She won't answer her door. She won't do nothing. Then I see her and she says, "I overcame you." I said, "Really? Yeah, I overcame you." And I said, "I don't think so." "Yeah, I overcame that wickedness in you." I laughed at her about 3 weeks ago. She looked at me, and she actually put her arms up all around on my shoulders, around my neck. She said, "Did you know something? It's getting easier to love you." I said, "Uh-oh." I wonder what's next. Oh, you see, I know you people. I hear you talk is how I know you. I know what comes out of your mouth is in your heart. Jesus said so. Getting easier to love you, which means it's been hard. But I wonder how long easy will last. Amen. Well, I said, "That's good. That's good. That's great." But I knew that God wanted me to see her and say, "I accept your challenge." And I tried to call her. She wouldn't answer. I went to her door. She wouldn't answer the doorbell, and I knew she was in the house. I knew that. And full of fear, and that spirit was afraid of me, Jezebel. So I know God said, "Go to her house." And I went down Legacy, and she turned right out in front of me, had her dog in her car going west on Legacy, and I just pulled up behind her and drove for half a mile or so. She turned off, and I pulled up behind her. And I knew what I was getting ready to say would make her run away. So the doors had to be unlocked. I just opened the back door and sat down in the back seat. And she said, "Well, you can get up here if you want to." And I said, "You're kidding." "No, you can get up here in the front." I said, "Good." So I said, "Well, get the dog out." She couldn't get the dog to go to the back. He's rebellious like she was. And but I got out and went around and got in the right front and sat down. And she messed around that dog. And finally, she said, "My dog won't hurt you." She said, "Don't bother about the dog. Put him in the back. I don't mess with him. Put him in there. He's rebellious like you are. But I'm in the driver. I mean, in a passenger seat now. It's hard to run away, you know, without taking me." So I told her. I said, "I'm going to accept your challenge." "Oh, I didn't challenge you." I said, "Oh, yes." You know what I know about fear, abundance, and a Jezebel? As soon as they see they've been caught, they lie. Y'all will identify with this in a minute, or you already have, or you lie. Did you know, if God sent every liar to hell, every one of us would have been there. Fear makes people lie worse than anything I've ever seen. But you see, I learned many, many years ago, you can't even tell a white lie with God. You just, you know, when I was a practicing veterinarian, I shook my head, yes, many times. when my heart was saying no. I didn't say anything. I said, whatever you think. Knowing they were wrong, but they didn't want me to tell them the truth. Do you know why that I would do what I did? I knew they'd fire me if I didn't. And I love that money. That'll keep you around the house. Amen. Love of money. Anyway, I challenged her, or I accepted her challenge. And after that, she was an angry woman. And she said, don't you ever come to this house again with this spirit in you. Said, no problem. Didn't care if I ever went. On Thursday night, God said, go. And I went. And I got there just, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes before JR. Oh, yeah. Didn't intend to use his name, but he made a big mistake. Huge mistake. And he opened the door, I walked in. The power of God was on me. I knew exactly where she was at. I went upstairs, she was sitting at her computer. Just sitting there looking at me. My eyes were fixed. Y'all have seen them. Right? She used to laugh about my scanners. Called my eyes scanners. And when they got fixed on somebody, something was coming out. And I just kept walking. I walked right up to her and she jumped up. I got her by the arms and she went wild. I put her on the couch, right there, 2 feet away. She went wild, kicking, scratching. Set her down, and she went wild. And a spirit of fear came out of her. It screamed. I had my hands on her shoulders. It came out, and all of a sudden, I felt somebody grab me around the waist. And it was JR. I said, turn me loose. Turn me loose. Turn me loose. You know, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I said, turn me loose. He wouldn't do it. When he did, I said, JR, did you know I could hurt you if I wanted to, but it's not in me. I will tell you what I said. So it won't be deceit. I said, I could knock hell out of you if I wanted to, but it's not in me to do that kind of stuff. But let me tell you what. There was a king that grabbed a hold of a prophet that prophesied to an altar. And that king's hand withered. God's judgment was on that king. And God's judgment sits on JR today for what he did. He stood and watched Lisa call the Plano police. And she was, well, it's all recorded. The police came and they arrested me. Put me in handcuffs and took me to jail. Booked me, fingerprinted me, took pictures of my face. And I wasn't bothered. And I'm still not. Not a bit. Not one bit. Pray for mercy for JR and Lisa and their kids. I'm not going to say what what she said. I'm sure it's recorded on a phone call. 911. I'm sure it's written. I mean, recorded, and I'm quite sure that that can be obtained and find out what she said. So anyway, they did no test on me. Said the guy put a red light in front of me, and I looked at it, and I guess he wasn't satisfied with my responses, and he said, "I'm arresting you for public intoxication." I said nothing. He put me in the car, handcuffed me, put me in the car, put a seatbelt on, cinched that thing up, and I'm praising God. Praising God loud, with a loud voice. And he gets in the car, and he starts to jail. I said, "Wait a minute. I want my cell phone and my glasses out of my Tahoe." I didn't point my finger. I couldn't. And he said, "Where are they?" I said, "They're in my Tahoe." "Where are the keys?" I said, "They're in my pocket." He got out. He came back. He loosened the seatbelt. He got my keys, and he never did tighten it back up. It was very uncomfortable. I'm 72. I've never been arrested. I've never been in jail. I've never been investigated. I've never been indicted. Amen. So we get to jail, Plano jail, and I said to the cops immediately, what did I say? I don't remember what I said. I'll get it in a minute. Oh, I said, "I do not hold you people responsible for this." And they looked at me and they said, "Well, that's good." I said, "I don't have any problems." So this officer was asking me all these questions. And he was asking me, you know, about all my illnesses that I don't have and all the medications that I don't take. And he couldn't find anything wrong with me. He said, "Do you drink wine?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you have any today?" I said, "Yeah, I had a glass." He said, "Did you like it?" I said, "Do you drink wine?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you like it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "So do I." I was really drunk. Drunk, but hadn't lost my wit. Nor my sharp mind. Sharp heart. And I guess I better not do any free advertisement. It doesn't matter. If Jack didn't want to be associated with me, he's in trouble. But Terry Mine, Ralph Edge, and Jack Turquette came and bailed me out. Cash bond. But the officer that gave me all this, and I signed all these statements, I signed my name to all these statements, he said, "This is appealable." I said, "Yeah." He knew I wasn't drunk. Wasn't intoxicated. Now, I don't know the law, and I won't get into that, but we will. Anyway, I went home, and I have no problems with this. But I know everything that ever happens to me happens for a reason. And I know it's a spiritual reason. And I begin to say to God, "What is this? What in the world is this?" You see, let me tell all you hypocrites something. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was called a wine bibber. You understand that? Thought we'd get a little scripture in. Is that okay? Oh, and a glutton. Did you know? We must read this now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, 11. Blessed are ye. Oh, I'll let you get to that. I want you to see this. Matthew 5, 11. Hallelujah. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, as to say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Look, Lord, not every scripture has to be fulfilled in my life. Hallelujah. Anyway, I said, there's got, by the way, watch Jim Baker go to prison. And it was a disgrace, I thought, to God. If he were a God, he crawls in a corner, what have you. And I often wondered if the pressures are so great when you're brought into these places, you know, that I knew better, but, you know, my head just thinks too much. But I want you to know, I wasn't sad, I wasn't afraid, I wasn't guilty, I wasn't condemned. I didn't keep my mouth shut. I was standing next to a guy, and they were interviewing him. And he said, what a shame. I said, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. And they looked at me, and they never said a word to me. If they had, I was going to say, look, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm here to comfort people, not hurt them. Yeah. And I go into this tank with seven guys, and I'm praying. It didn't have any water in it. Or we about to save some and baptize some. Amen. And go in there, and they gave me a blanket and a mattress, you know, and I put the blanket on the floor and stood up all the time. Well, I didn't need to go to bed. I didn't go there to go to bed. But I was praying, this guy pulled the blanket off his head and said, be quiet, I'm trying to sleep. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel, and this is what I do. Do you understand? He said, yes, sir. put the blanket over his head. And he was on a bunk, and he got dressed. And they made him come back in there, and he sat down on that bunk. And I said, may I sit down with you? Yes, sir. Well, I wasn't afraid of those people. I wasn't guilty. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't condemned. And I do not hold Jared Lisa responsible, but God knows what he's up to. Anyway, I was praying yesterday, and I said, Lord, what on earth is this? And God began to show me something that I really knew, and I had it confirmed. A Jezebel will call 911, call the cops, and say, my husband is drunk, is intoxicated, and they will come and get him, and they'll put him in jail. They will put him in jail. And this is what goes on in our society. And the authorities agree with that. Now, I'm not saying that these people are not drunk, because I don't know. I'm not the judge. But I'm telling you, this is what happens. And I talked to somebody that knows this business well, and it happened to be a lady. And not only do they do that, they say, we don't want to press any charges. But what they do, they wait for the next time, next week, where they can call them back and have them jailed again. You know why? Jezebel has one thing in mind, and that's to punish a man. Punish a man. Nothing else but punish a man. So, I'm going to court. I wouldn't have to. Now, God may tell me I'm wrong, but I thought I wouldn't. But it seems right. I'll know. And there are no charges. There was no charge. And there's no proof. I just believe it's right. I'd be willing to leave it on my record the rest of my life. Public intoxication. I do have a problem. I don't know the law. I'm not a lawyer. But since it wasn't outside of this house, and the law may say that's public intoxication, I don't know. But since it wasn't outside of the house, it wasn't very public. But I don't know. See, I'm not a lawyer. Lawyers have fishy ways. They do. So anyway, I know my mother Alba would be one happy woman if she were. My Baptist mother would be so proud of me. And if Patty were here, and Mother was here, oh my God, would I have something to endure? Not to explain, I wouldn't put up with them. They were both Jezebels. And I don't mess with Jezebels. I cast the devil out of them. Amen? That whatever Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, he said, whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. And guess what? What was in these two people's heart came out of their mouths. Action. Basil, let's do one song. It is, what is it? We have come into this place, gathered in his name. It's a good place to start, you know. Don't you be bothered. I'm not. If God be for me, who could be against me? Amen.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.